just two verses this morning. As we come to Matthew chapter 7, we realize that we're in the midst of the sermon of our Lord, the Sermon of the Mount. That begins for us back in Matthew chapter 5 and continues all the way through Matthew chapter 7. It's the first recorded sermon of our Lord on His earthly ministry. And it's one that enumerates for us principles for those who would follow Him. It's a wonderful sermon. This morning we want to kind of pick up just one portion of that sermon. As in our day, the moral foundations of the nation of Israel were being shaken to the core. And the Lord Jesus now comes onto the scene and begins His earthly ministry. And the first thing that He begins to share are these principles for those who would follow Him. The principles that the Lord Jesus Christ laid forth were designed to help us live our lives in a way that is well-pleasing unto the Lord our God. Lives that are centered in His person and lives that are centered in His holiness. You know, you and I today live in a culture that's going through some of the same experiences that the culture of Christ's day was experiencing. Morality and ethics are being set aside for the base appetites of man. Questions are being raised as to the validity of the gospel. Questions are being raised as to whether or not an almighty God can truly love people as we claim. Religion is considered to be irrelevant, seeing that the modern man has evolved so much beyond the thoughts and what they consider to be childish thoughts of religion. Those who do hold to religious thought or mindset are teaching, though, that truth is relative. That it's not important how you come to God. It's simply important that you come to God. And God will willingly accept all who come to Him. Large portions of so-called Christians teach that all faiths are acceptable. Again, what's important is that you have some form of faith or religion. It really doesn't matter how you come to God. It doesn't matter what you believe. What's important is you believe something and you try to find your way to God. And if you do your very best for God, God will understand all that you were dealt, and God will one day wipe your slate clean and He'll give you access into heaven. With such truths being presented in our society, there is a need for truth to be presented and a choice that must be made. When the Lord Jesus Christ stood before the people who came to listen to this sermon, He is going to offer to them the reality of a choice. I've entitled the message this morning, Two Ways, but Only One Choice. There is for us two ways that we can choose, but ultimately we must make but one choice as to whether or not we will follow God, follow Christ, or follow our own way. Before we begin, let's bow this morning, though, and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You and we praise You that as we come together, we're able to gather around the truth of Thy Word and consider a portion of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, to consider these thoughts and these words that He would share to His culture of that day. And it's been preserved for us to challenge us in our day as well. Lord, we live in a day where morality and ethics are being set aside. Religion is considered irrelevant. Truth is being replaced by whatever man thinks to be right, and it's all relative to our thinking. And God will accept us however we determine to come unto Him. Yet, Father, the Scripture teaches a different fact. The fact is that there are two ways, and we must choose between the two. And Lord, the choice that we make will make all the difference in our life and in eternity. So Lord, we ask and pray that You would bless as we continue and study Thy Word this morning. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. From the very beginning of human history, man has been confronted with the necessity to make the right choice. God made man and He put man in the midst of the garden. And in that garden, God said to man that he could have all of the fruit of the trees of that garden. They were there for him to eat. They were his food. They were there to nourish and supply for his every need. But of one tree, God said, I'd ask that you not eat of that fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave clear instruction as to what man was not allowed to do, and he gave clear warning as to what would happen if man would decide to follow his own way and not God's way. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man was confronted with a choice right from the very beginning. God made this beautiful garden, this wonderful place for man to live. And in the midst of that garden, he placed one tree amongst all other trees and all other fruit-bearing trees and things that would supply for man's every need. And God said, I give you this choice. Eat of every tree but this one, and you'll know life. If you eat of this one tree, you will surely die. The sad reality is that man chose to disobey. The choice was clear: obey or don't obey. There were two ways, but only one choice. Man chose the wrong way, and sin entered the world. But what we find so wonderful in the beginning of the story of mankind is that God quickly provided a way. Our God, who was rich in mercy, immediately provided a way of salvation through faith in God's ordained plan. And now man is confronted with yet another choice. He can either accept God's way of salvation, or he can choose to find his own way. Two ways, but only one choice. And this is precisely what the Lord Jesus Christ is here speaking of in this section that we're going to consider this morning, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. In these two verses, the Lord Jesus Christ is reminding us of our choice. Two ways, but only one choice. Verse 13 said, enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Man has always been faced with the need to choose God's way or his way. These are the two ways that are depicted in the Lord's sermon. He refers to them as the broad way or the narrow way. Man must make a choice as to which road, which gate he will enter in. The world around him at times, the world around the Lord Jesus Christ at this time is quickly becoming divided. The Jews were looking for their soon coming king, and the religious leaders who should have been able to see that Christ was the promised king, they were blinded by their own way, a man-made religion filled with the traditions of men. Yet there are others who believe that in this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, he might be that one way. And the Lord Jesus, in his very first sermon, comes and he gives to men the responsibility to choose. Enter into the straight gate. Follow the narrow way. Because your choice is either the narrow way which leads to life or the broad way which leads to destruction. The Lord Jesus Christ confronts his culture with a choice, one that we also must be confronted with if we are to know the blessings of the Lord. This morning I want to consider two thoughts or applications of this choice and cause us here to decide which choice we will make. Again, the title, Two Ways, But Only One Choice. Let me share these two applications with you and consider them with me in our time remaining. When we consider the fact that there are two ways and a choice that must be made, we understand that there is a choice for salvation. As the Lord Jesus Christ is here sharing this Sermon on the Mount, as he is speaking to the multitude that is gathered, he is giving to them a choice for salvation. It is either the narrow way which leads to life, or it is the broad way which leads unto destruction. And the first choice that man is confronted with is the choice of salvation. The Lord Jesus lays before those who had gathered on that mount two eternal ways. The choice that man makes with respect to those two ways will determine his eternal destiny, and all mankind is faced with that choice. We live in a society today that wants to say, there are many ways. You can choose one of many ways. There are many forms of religion. There are many thoughts as to somehow we can gain acceptance of God. But the truth is, the Bible says there are only two choices. You either choose God or you choose the ways of man. It doesn't matter which road of religion you are walking down. That road of religion is not centered on Jesus Christ and His way of salvation. You are on the wrong path. And folks are going down the broad way. Even though our culture says there are many ways, there are but two. You can either be on the broad road or you can be on the narrow road. And all mankind must face that choice for salvation. In light of that, I want you to consider with me these two roads. There is first the broad road. The broad road is characterized by ease of travel. It is also characterized by the fact that many will travel this road. It is a road that offers travel without resistance. Man is not confronted with sin. Man is allowed on this road to choose that which best suits his needs. There are many today traveling on this road. It is a road that offers very little resistance. It's a road that does not want to confront man with his need to deal with sin. In fact, we have tried so hard in our own culture to get rid of the concept of sin. Things aren't right and wrong. That's just relative to what you think. Don't be so narrow-minded. Yet the reality is there are many who are traveling on this road. The broad road does not place strict guidelines on its traveler. It encourages liberality. Yet the Lord Jesus warned that those who follow this way will find that it leads to destruction. Now you may have opportunity to, as you seek to share your faith with others, find that they're engrossed in such a thought. It really doesn't matter how I live. It really doesn't matter as long as I'm giving my best for God. And what you need to encourage them is simply this. They're on the wrong road. You're on a road that leads to destruction. You're on a road that's going to take you to the place that the Bible calls hell. And the reality is many are there that find this way. Our culture is heading in this broad way. This broad path, this easy path to travel. And so many are simply following along with the crowd and going the direction of our culture and our world. Yet the Bible says that this road is going to lead to destruction. There is, however, also the narrow road. The word narrow actually carries the idea of hardness. It's hard to travel and enter in at this gate. It's a narrow gate. And again, the concept of the gate here is one that would have been very familiar to the people of that day. Every city in that day was a walled city. And in order to enter in to the city, you would enter in through the gates. There were some gates that were broad and wide and very easy to get through. But there were other smaller gates around the city. And some of those were much harder to go through and to gain access. And the Lord Jesus, using that thought, is now depicting to man their need of a choice. There is a way that this world will travel and it is easy. But there is a way that God sets before man, and the choice must be made, and it's not quite as easy to choose. The way seems strict, and the requirements seem to be too hard. On this road, man must face the reality of a sin and is called upon to confess his sin and seek the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what keeps many from entering in at the narrow gate? pride. It's too hard to humble themselves before God. It's too hard to admit that I'm a sinner. We want to look around and look at others and say, listen, I am good compared to them. But the reality is, man must not compare himself one with another. He has to compare himself to the perfect person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us fall short of the glory of God. And in order for man to enter in at the straight gate, he must confess his sin and call on Jesus to save him. Entrance to this road is found in only one way. Jesus himself declared, he is the way, the truth, and the life. In John chapter 14, verse 6. You know, it's interesting when we look at John 14, verse 6. You literally could read it this way. Jesus is saying, I am the one and only way. The one and only truth and the one and only life. There is only one way that man can be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. There is no other way. And man must make a choice for salvation. Will he accept God's way and enter through the narrow gate, or will he take the way of the world and follow through the broad gate? I trust that most of us this morning have already made that choice, and we've entered in through the narrow gate. That broad and easy gate, which leads to destruction, it's one that no man should choose. One that we ought to be encouraging others to flee from. But the choice that man makes will determine his eternal destiny. There are only two ways, and the choice that one makes will make all the difference. In fact, the scripture would indicate that choice needs to be made even today. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. None of us know if there is tomorrow, but we have been given the opportunity today. As we consider what the Lord Jesus Christ is here saying, we understand there are two ways, but only one choice. That is true for man of salvation. But there's another concept I want you to consider with me. And this one is most relevant for us this morning. And that is the choice for sanctification. The application of the text can also be applied to the choice that we make now that we're saved. The choice to allow God to do His work within our heart. Once we have come to Christ by way of salvation, the choice is now, will we follow Him for sanctification? Again, this Sermon of the Mount, was filled with principles for those who would follow Christ. Consider some of the principles that are taught. As you come to chapter 5 in the very beginning, He lays forth to us the characteristics of a man who is blessed of God. We call them the Beatitudes. You remember those in the very beginning of Matthew chapter 5, in which we are simply told, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And He lays out these characteristics of a man blessed of God. As you come down to verse 13 and 14, He's going to tell us that there's a need for us to be used of the Lord as salt and light, that we might impact the culture around us. As you continue through the Sermon of the Mount, we are given regulations for our relationship, and we are called upon to be perfect as our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. We find that, by the way, in chapter 5 and verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. We are called upon to live a life characterized by holiness. As you continue through this sermon, we also find that our worship and our service are dealt with by the Lord, and we are called to seek first the kingdom of God and choose to serve only Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But instead, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Why? Because you can't serve two masters. You've got to make a choice. Because you're either going to love one and hate the other. You're going to despise one and serve the other. But man cannot serve God and mammon. So there is a choice. So seek first Christ. That's the challenge of the Sermon on the Mount. In this sermon, we are taught the truth concerning prayer. And we're given what is commonly called the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The sermon is concluded at the end of chapter 7 with the reality that we can either build our lives upon the rock or we can build our lives upon the sand. Again, the choice is yours. But understand that the choice is going to make the difference. If you build your life upon the sand, when the winds come and the waves begin to crash upon your house and the waters and the flood begin to ascend, be careful, your house, as the little children sing, is going to go splat. It's going to crumble. Therefore, build your life upon the rock, because the winds are going to blow, the rains are going to fall, the floodwaters are going to crash against the house. But when it's built upon a rock, that house will stand. And throughout this sermon, there is a choice that we must make. Will I serve God or will I serve self? We are constantly confronted with choice now that we are saved. How will I live today? Will I live for God? Will I live for self? And the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us there are two ways, but ultimately one choice. You can either choose to go through the broad gate, that easy road, and you can follow it to your own destruction. Or you can continue to walk and seek to enter on through that narrow gate and walk that narrow road, which continues to lead to life eternal. Now the reality is that the destruction, when we're considering this in the application of sanctification, has nothing to do with our salvation. That is forever settled. But folks, I want to remind you that there is a reality within the Christian life of loss. And if we decide to walk in the broad way, there is loss that we might encounter. The question is, which way will we choose? Which direction will we choose for our family and for our church? How will we walk in the midst of a wicked and perverse world? Will we choose to follow the popular path of the world? Will we follow the broad path that so many others are choosing to follow? Are we simply going to go with the flow? Or are we willing to swim against the current in order to reach our resting place? Which path will we trod? Which path will we choose? Again, I want to have you in line of this, in light of sanctification, consider a few thoughts about this broad road, which many professing Christians are so willing to travel today. There are many who name the name of Jesus Christ. There are many churches who preach the name of Christ. They are even evangelical. They are preaching the gospel. But in many ways, they are heading down the path of the broad road. I want you to consider that thought for a moment. The broad road is appealing to them, because on this road, there are no boundaries. There is plenty of room for a diversity of opinion. And there's an acceptance for laxity in morals. On this road, there is permissiveness. There is tolerance. On this road, you can follow your own inclinations. You can do whatever your heart desires. Those who travel this road have reached higher thought, at least in their mind. They need not obey anything or believe anything unless it is comforting for them to believe or do, or it's exciting for them. There are many who are following this easy path. It's the easy road that allows you to do as you please. And in the end, God is required to accept you on your terms. Those who travel this road are not willing to make the necessary sacrifices for the Lord, even though He is worthy because He sacrificed for us. Folks, as I list those things off, I see much of the modern Christian culture today. A culture in which we have room for diversity of opinion and acceptance of lax morals, that we're permissive, we're tolerant even of sin. We follow our inclinations. We don't need to follow the strict guidelines of the Word of God. We do whatever our heart desires. We let our heart lead us. By the way, that's foolish counsel and thought. For Jeremiah says the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? That's why God gives us to us that perfect Word, able to help us to do right and be well-pleasing unto Him. No, we often forget about this road. Again, that this road leads to destruction, that it leads to loss. You know, the Bible tells us that all of us one day are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says that we're going to give an account of the things done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. There's a day coming where each and every one of you and me, we will stand individually before the Savior, Jesus Christ. And here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells me. That He is going to judge my works, whether they be good or evil. That which is good, the Bible characterizes them this way. It is gold, silver, and precious stone. But that which is evil is going to be considered wood, hay, and stubble. And my life and your life is going to be tried by fire. And the wood, hay, and the stubble will be gone. But the gold, the silver, and the precious stone, that will remain. And that will be our reward. Have you considered that thought lately? Because those who are going and living on that broad road are building to them a life filled with wood, hay, and stubble. And when they stand before the God of all eternity, and they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, He is going to judge their works by fire, and that wood, that hay, and stubble will be gone. What will be left of their life? But those who seek to walk the narrow path are going to begin to build to themselves gold, silver, and precious stone, those things which are purified by fire and those things which remain. I find it very interesting as well when I come to the book of Revelation and I come to chapter 1. The Bible says that John saw the Lord in all of His glory. And one of the characteristics that John takes note and he makes note of for us is that the eyes of the Lord are as a flaming fire. Consider that. You and I are going to stand before the Lord God, Jesus Christ. And His eyes are going to examine your life. I often wonder if that's not the fire that is spoken of when we are judged. I don't know about you, but one of the hardest things as a child to do when you were caught was to look Dad in the eyes. I often say that to my kids when they're in the midst of something like that. Look me in the eyes. I've worked with young people long enough to know that if I really want to get their attention, I just have to look at them. And once they catch the fire in the eye, their whole demeanor will change. You can actually learn through your eyes to make a child very uncomfortable. It doesn't matter how big of a room you're in, you can single out that one and they can just begin to squirm. And they could be bigger than you too, and it doesn't matter. The reality is the eyes have a wonderful effect. You know what? You and I are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and His eyes are going to examine our life. What will be left? See, the choice that you and I have now is a choice for sanctification. Will I walk and allow my life to follow Him? Or will I follow my own way and do my own thing? Sometimes to us, that really doesn't seem to be all that important to us. That's something that we can almost laugh at or mock. But there will be no mocking, no laughing on that day when we stand before Almighty God. We're going to look at Him face to face and we're going to give an account of our life. Which road have you chosen to walk? Consider with me, though, that narrow path, that road to sanctification. On this road, the boundaries of life are clearly marked. The narrowness of this road is due to something called divine revelation. And that revelation restricts us to the confines of what God requires of us in His Word. This road requires that we leave behind our sin, our self-ambition, our covetousness, and our self-serving attitude. The narrow road requires that we give ourselves a living sacrifice. It requires that we choose You this day whom we will serve. It requires that we no longer live in the counsel of the ungodly, no longer stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. The narrow road causes us to plant ourselves in the Word of God and be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Yet those who travel this road do not find the road to be a burden. In fact, they understand that when they take upon them the yoke of Jesus Christ, it is light and it is easy. But there be very few who seem to find it. You and I are called upon to make a choice. Which road will we travel? The first choice that man must make is in regards to salvation, and from that, we must choose sanctification. Can I remind you this morning that you and I are constantly being confronted with choice? Those on the broad road are enticing us to join them. They are mixing truth with error, and it requires that you and I be discerning of good and evil. I marvel at how many seek to entice those who are trying to walk on the narrow road, away from such a path. I marvel when I walk into a Christian bookstore and I begin to look over the books and the things that are being written and the things that they're encouraging Christians to do in the name of Christianity. And so many will go in and they'll pick up the book and they'll begin to read because that's the popular guy of the day. And if he says it, then it must be true. Be very careful. Read everything with a discerning mind. Read everything in light of the Scripture. We are to judge all things according to the Word of God. There might be things from which you can glean. But folks, I want to say this to you. Gleaning is not as good as feasting, is it? Which would you rather have been in Ruth's day? Boaz? Or Ruth in the beginning. Ruth and Naomi ate of what they gleaned. Boaz ate of the bounty of his harvest. And he had a feast every day. Folks, you and I can come to the Word of God and we can feast upon the Word of God. Or we can glean in the books that are sold on bookshelves all over this country and in our bookstores that many are recommending. But be careful. Have a discerning mind. Because there are many who are confronting us with the choice to walk away from that narrow path. Before us is ever two ways, but there is only one choice. In my senior year, we took a trip for our senior trip to the Wilds of North Carolina. And Ken Collier, who is now the president of the Wilds, used to say this to us often, there are only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. The Bible tells us you cannot serve God and mammon. Elijah confronted the people of Israel with this choice. How long halt ye between two opinions? Will we serve God or will we serve Baal? By the way, Joshua said it this way. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, that's fine. But make your choice today whom you will serve. But I trust that you'll be able to say with Joshua, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Two ways that we must choose. And ultimately, we must make our choice. There is only one way that leads to life. That is the way of Jesus Christ. The question is, will we choose Him? You may be here this morning and you've never been saved. Well, the Bible says you have a choice for salvation. If we are here today and we've trusted Christ and our choice is for sanctification, there are only two ways. There is but one choice. You can either enter down the broad road, that's going to lead to destruction, or you can enter it at the narrow gate and follow that narrow path and allow it to lead to life eternal. Which choice are you making? Which road are you walking day by day? I trust that you'll have already decided. As for you and for your house, you're going to serve the Lord. I can't understand why it's so hard for us to make the right choice. Probably because we, like water, choose the path of least resistance. What's easiest for me today? You know, sometimes we just need to swim against the current. By the way, a dead fish can swim downstream. Did you know that? But a live fish can swim against the current. Are you choosing life or death? Destruction or blessing? Sometimes it's a hard road. Sometimes it's not always easy. But the blessing is there. Which way will you choose? The only two choices on the shelf: you can please God or you get to please self. And the choice that we make will make all the difference for eternity's sake. Let's pray.